Let's turn back there to Exodus chapter 2. Now, throughout the Scriptures, the Lord comforts and strengthens our hearts by showing us that His wise and His all-powerful and His faithful hand in all that He does in providence. And in all that He does in providence, He's glorifying His name. And He is saving His people. Everything. We may not see it or understand it, but He's doing that. Now, during the time when Israel was slaves in Egypt, that's the time we find our text here. They're slaves in Egypt. Exodus 2, verse 1 says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived." Now, I want you to consider this. Pharaoh had come into power, and he was showing no kindness to Israel, this new Pharaoh that came into power. But God made a mockery of everything that Pharaoh tried to bring to pass. The first thing Pharaoh did was he sought to prevent Israel from growing and multiplying by putting a bunch of hard bondage on them, yoking them and bring them into bondage. And Exodus 1:12 says, "But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel." And so they just put more, made them serve with more bitter bondage. But they just grew and multiplied. And then Pharaoh ordered the midwives, and he told the midwives to kill all the Hebrew male babies as soon as they were born. Exodus 1:17 says, "But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive." Verse 20 says, "Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty." And then thirdly, Exodus 1:22 says, "And Pharaoh charged all his people." Now he charges all his servants under him in his kingdom. All his people. Not just the midwives. All his people. And he said, "Every son that's born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." Pharaoh was a sinful man. And this wicked design of his was nothing more but a sinful man seeking to retain power over a nation. That's all he was doing. And behind his evil was Satan's purpose to destroy God's people from off the face of the earth, and thereby preventing the woman's seed, Christ Jesus, from coming into the earth, and thereby preventing God from receiving all the glory and the saving of those that He elected before the world began. And yet overruling every bit of it was God. Over every bit of it. And He's overruling everything to teach us this lesson. In all of providence, God is working His eternal purpose to glorify His name, to save and to teach His children to trust Him according to His word. And all the while, in all of it, He's bringing our enemies to nothing. God's doing that in the midst of this whole world, right before our eyes. We see it here with this couple three ways. We see it in the children that were born to them. We see it in the children that were born to them. Then secondly, we see it in how that God grew this couple in faith to serve Him, to believe Him, trust Him. And then we see it, thirdly, by the fact that God used all the enemies, even to accomplish His purpose. They didn't mean it for that, but He used it for that. I want to show you those three things. Exodus 2:1 says, "There went a man of the house of Levi. His name is Amram. He's the husband. His name means exalted people. And he took to wife a daughter of Levi. Her name is Jochebed. That is, her name means Jehovah is glory. And the woman conceived." Now that's amazing to me. In the midst of all this that's going on, this couple gets married and this woman conceived. Now, God introduced these two believers here in the middle of all of this hard bondage, in the middle of all of this trial, in the middle of Pharaoh working all this evil in the midst of this land. God introduced these two believers to each other. And they got married. and they started having children. Now, the first thing we see is we see that in the children which were born to this couple, we see in this that all providence, in all of providence, God is working His eternal purpose of glorifying His name. Now, our text is about the birth of Moses. That's what we're dealing with here. But before we get to the birth of Moses, there were two other children born before Moses was born. This couple had three children that we know of. And in the order that they were born, I want to tell you who they were. The first one was named Miriam. She's the maid that's spoken of here in Exodus 2:10 that stood by and watched as they put Moses in the river. Miriam, her name means bitterness. And she was probably named that because she was born during the time whenever Pharaoh had made their life bitter with hard bondage. And then Aaron was born. He was born 3 years before Moses was born. And his name means bringer of light. That's what his name is, bringer of light. Aaron most likely was one of those that the Hebrew midwife saved that so that he didn't die. And then in Exodus 2:2, it says, "And the woman conceived and bare a son." Now this is Moses. He's born 3 years after Aaron. He's born during this time when Pharaoh ordered all his people now. He's got all his servants now and told all of them to cast every male Hebrew child into the river and save the children alive. His name, down in verse 10, at the end of the verse there, his name Moses is named that because it means I drew him out of the water. I drew him out of the water. Now I want you to turn over to Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6. Stay with the point here. The point I'm making to you is God's showing in all of this, even in these children that were born to this couple, in the midst of all this great trial, God is showing He's going to glorify His holy name in His Son, Christ Jesus. That's what he's showing. This couple has these three children. Now look who it is that God used to lead his children out of Israel, out of bondage in Egypt. Micah 6:4. He says, "I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam." God used this couple's three children to lead Israel out of bondage. He delivered them and He gave them these three children to lead them out of bondage. Turn over now to Exodus 15 and let's see how each one of these children is a picture of Christ Jesus the Lord. Exodus 15. God is mocking His enemies. Right in the middle of all this great work that Pharaoh's going to try to stop Israel from prevailing, God's mocking them right in the middle of it. Look here in Exodus 15. We see Christ typified in Miriam. Whenever Moses went through that Red Sea, it's a picture of baptism, which is a picture of Christ who is immersed in the eternal judgment, the wrath of God, the fury of justice, immersed in that judgment, and came out of that judgment and delivered His people out of that sea of wrath on the other side. And it says, when they came out, Moses began to sing a song of praise to God. And Exodus 15:20 says, "And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron," she's the sister of Moses too, she spent most of her time with Aaron, that may be why it says that, "the sister of Aaron took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea." Now the Lord made it clear to Miriam later on that she was subservient to Moses. He made that clear to her. And we know that a woman is never to usurp authority and to teach in the church, to usurp authority over a man. She's to be silent in the church and learn from her husband at home. But as the leader of the women, as the leader of the women in song, we see a type of Christ who leads the woman, the church, His bride, His elect. He leads her. and singing praises to God. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And we will come back here to Hebrews in just a moment as well. But Hebrews chapter 2. Look here with me. And he's quoting from Isaiah here in Hebrews 2:11. And he says, both he that sanctifies. The women went out to Miriam, didn't they? They went to her. They were separated unto her. Christ is our sanctifier. He that sanctifies, he separates his children unto him. He that sanctifies, and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. That's what Christ is doing. I want to declare thy name unto my brethren, the name of God. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Do you see that's who's leading? In Isaiah 53, Isaiah 53, after we hear the word of that great deliverance accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ, how that he was made sin for his people, and that how he bore the wrath that we deserve. And by his stripes, all his children are healed. And God declares he's satisfied with his son. He declares that he's satisfied with the work of his son. Right after that, it's Christ Jesus, the Lord our God, who tells us to do something. Isaiah 54:1. He says, sing. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. He's pictured in Miriam. He teaches us to sing unto the Lord and leads his children in this great work. Just like those women went out after Miriam, Christ, every one of his elect, are called out and they go out to him and they follow him. And our song is this, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. And hadn't he? He's thrown the horse, the rider, and the horse into the sea. Well, go back to Hebrews now and look at Hebrews chapter 2. The second son, or the second child that was born to this couple, was Aaron. And this is the one that God raised up to be the high priest over the people, to offer sacrifice for the people, and to intercede on their behalf. Aaron's name means bringer of light. And there is no light, absolutely no light, for any of God's elect except through Christ Jesus, who is the light. He's the bringer of light. And it's through the blood atonement that he has offered up of himself, of his own blood, as our high priest. And he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he is able to comfort us because he's been right where we are and walked right where we walk. That's what's required of a high priest. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. It's speaking here of Christ's coming, and it says, verse 17, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Here's two things that a faithful high priest has to do. A faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. That's what Christ did. He made reconciliation for the sins of the people. Everyone that he died for, he made reconciliation for them. Everyone he died for, he brought them back into friendship with God. Christ did this. And it says here, and for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to succor, to comfort them that are tempted. Look now over at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And he tells us again, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. That's what Christ did. Who can have compassion on the ignorant? That's the second job. And on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man takes this honor unto himself, No man can take this honor unto himself. But he that's called of God, as was Aaron. And he's a picture of who? Verse 5 says, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest. But he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. So the first child born was Miriam, picture of Christ, who leads his children in singing praises unto the Lord God. The second one born was Aaron, who pictures Christ our high priest and our intercessor and our comforter. And then thirdly, Moses was born. And we see Christ in Moses. Moses was drawn out of the river, that river of death. That's what that river pictured. Pharaoh said they're all these male children have got to be cast into that river of death. That's what the law demands of you and I. If every elect child of God, they have to be cast into the river of death. And Moses went into that river of death and was drawn out of that river of death. And that's a picture of Christ who, though he went into the grave and suffered wrath for his people, he's drawn out of that river of death. And he's seated at the right hand of God right now, and he's reigning and he's teaching all of his redeemed children in this earth. Look over at Psalm 2. Psalm 2. So in all of this, in the midst of Egypt, while that enemy was trying to bring God's glory to nothing, God brings forth these children to lead Israel out of their midst. And we see in them Christ, who is our prophet, priest, and king, by whom we sing praises unto God. Now what do we say to that? What do we say to all that? Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Our God sits in the heavens, and He laughs. He laughs at them. The Lord shall have them in derision. Everything Pharaoh tried to do, everything the Egyptians tried to do to Israel, was frustrated. God frustrated it all. Then shall he speak in them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. And he says, yet I've set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. There he is, the prophet, priest, and king, Christ Jesus the Lord, seated in glory at the right hand of the Father. And he says, and I'll declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So what do we do? Verse 10 says, be wise now, therefore, you kings, and be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling before Him. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish from the way. Kiss the Son. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. So we see, first of all, in this very fact, that these three children that were born, in the midst of all that, God was just laughing at everything they were doing. He brought forth three children who glorified Christ, showed Christ in type and how God would bring His children out. And then we see, secondly, how God teaches us and how He taught Moses' parents. He taught them in faith and grew them in faith. And so we see in that how that God works in all providence to teach us, His children, through His Word, to trust Him. And He grows us more to trust Him. These couple were taught more and more the faithfulness of God. They were taught in the midst of all this trial more and more to put their trust in Him. In the midst of all this trial, this couple were grown in faith, and we see it by the names they gave their first two children, and then we see it in what they did for Moses. We see it in what they named their first two children, then we see it in what they did for Moses, what they did with Moses. When their lives were bitter in hard bondage, and they were under all these taskmasters, and the Pharaoh was determined to bring them to nothing, this couple still believed God enough to have a child. They believed God enough to have a child. And they named her Miriam. Bitterness. Bitterness. When times are the most bitter, whenever things are the most bitter in this world, God proves His faithfulness to keep His children. When everything is the most bitter, when Pharaoh is raging and all his army and he increases the bitterness tenfold, that's when God shows more clearly His faithfulness to deliver us out of all all the affliction and all the trial, that He is our Savior, that He is our salvation. When I thought about this couple, I thought about what would it be like for young newlywed believers getting married in this day, right now in which we live. That'd be tough. It's a tough time. I know probably believers have thought in every generation they lived in the hardest generation. But when you look at this generation in which Moses' parents lived in, that was a tough generation. They were in slaves in Egypt. And there was much going on about them that was great trial and great affliction to them. But not only does God add to His church daily such as should be saved, like as He did where He gave a Miriam, like as she came forth for fruit, so the Lord adds to His church daily such as should be saved. But not only that, but in the midst of all the trial, He multiplies and adds to and teaches that inward man that He's created of His Spirit by His grace, and He teaches us and grows us more to believe on Him. Look at Exodus 1:12. So that this can be said of us by God, by what He's working, the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. That's always the case. That's always the case. And then Pharaoh made that decree. He made another decree. Remember, after he made their life bitter with hard bondage? Then he made his decree for the midwives to kill all the newborn male babies, Hebrew babies. And you think about that. I was thinking about that, and I thought, you hear that decree's gone out, that the midwives are supposed to kill the male Hebrew babies as soon as they're born. And your wife comes to you and says, I'm pregnant. We're about to have our second child. Can you think about what kind of trouble that could cause you in your spirit? How hard that could be for you in your spirit? Thinking, I hope it's a girl. I hope this is a girl. But they trusted God. They believed God. And God, our Savior, is faithful. He's the bringer forth of light. That's who He is, the bringer forth of light. And by grace, the bringer forth of light brought forth some light. You know what He did? He provided two women that He had given faith to trust Him, to fear Him, and not fear the king. Their names were Shipra and Pua. You know what their names mean? Fair, beautiful, bright, glistening, light. They were the light of the earth. They were the light of Egypt out there. And God provided them. And they feared the Lord. They feared the Lord rather than fearing the king. They believed Him. They trusted the Lord. These two women did. And because they trusted the Lord, in the face of this direct command from the most powerful ruler on the face of the planet, you know what they did? They saved the Hebrew male children. They spared them and didn't deliver them. They spared them. God, our Savior, is the bringer of light. That's why He's the bringer of light. And because they spared these children, because He brought forth these lights, these two women, they spared Aaron. And this couple names him Aaron, the bringer of light. I see a couple who appears to me to be growing in faith. I see a couple who appear to me to be growing by God's grace in teaching them in all this, that as He has promised, so He shall do in this earth. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I'm the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. And He says, I'll keep doing it. He which has begun a good work in you shall perform it to the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He'll keep teaching His children. And then Pharaoh raged more. And this time he ordered all the people. In verse 22, he said this, every son that's born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. He was so furious now. So furious. When he came and asked those midwives, they said, they lied to him. They just lied to him. Because they trusted God. And they were about to go against the promise of God. They believed God. And now he's mad. He's angry. So he tells everybody, kill all of them. Kill everybody. All my servants. You go out and you find every male child being born and you throw them in the river. Drown them in the river. In verse 2, Exodus 2:2. And the woman conceived and bare a son. Would you? Would you? If you knew this, if you knew this, what Pharaoh was trying to do, would you decide, we're going to have another child? Let's have another child. If you believe God, you could. They believed God. They said, let's have another child. And she conceived and bare a son. And look what she did. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Now you know the Holy Spirit's commentary on this. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Let me show you what's being shown us here. If you don't see what I'm trying to show you in these first two children and how the Lord taught them in these, we see a progression in the names they gave to those first two children, from bitterness to the bringer of light. Now we're going to see it in what they do. And God tells us this is exactly what He's teaching us. He says, by faith, they believe God. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Let's go back to Exodus. There's no doubt they loved their child. There's no doubt they loved him. But what they're doing here, they're doing by faith. What they're doing here is an act. This couple is doing this by faith. That's what they're doing here. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. They had the promise that Abraham was given by God had been passed from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, all the way to his children, all the way to them. And they had been taught, God's going to bring his children into Egyptian bondage. And here we are. God has made good on his promise. But God promised he's going to deliver them out of bondage. He's going to send forth a deliverer, and he's going to bring us out of bondage. And all that was a picture of Christ to come, who's coming forth to bring all of the elect children of God who died in Adam, just as they ended up in bondage by Jacob. We died in Adam and ended up in bondage by Jacob. But God's coming forth, and he's delivering his children out of that bondage, out of death, out of sin, out of the power of Satan's grasp, and from all our enemies by his work. And that's what they had heard. And they believed God. And they believed God by divine revelation that this child that they had was going to be the one God was going to use to deliver them out of there. That's what it means here when it says, by faith they saw Moses was a goodly child. They saw, Hebrew writer says, a proper child. More than just a pretty baby. They saw what God promised. They saw and believed God that Moses was chosen of God to be Israel's deliverer, to bring Israel out of Egyptian bondage. The word proper means precious and favored. And faith proves itself by works. Faith proves its genuine faith because you can say you believe God all you want to and sit on your hands, sit on your rear end and say, I believe in God. I'm just going to trust he's going to save Moses. I just trust he's going to save this boy. That's not what they did. They got up and they went to work. They went to work. Here's what they did. By faith, they hid him 3 months. They hid this boy 3 months. I can picture those servants going door to door, knocking on the doors of the Hebrew wives and Hebrew men and women and looking through their house and searching through their house and seeking to see, you got any male children in this house? And they hid him. They hid him away. And then it says, by faith, the Hebrew writer said, they were not afraid of the king's commandments. They weren't afraid. Faith by faith, they weren't afraid. We're supposed to be obedient to all the civil rulers. God's put them there. That's what Romans 13 tells us. But God has given us, he's our ruler. He's our leader. He's our king. And when God says something and a civil ruler says something and they don't match up, we ought to obey God rather than men. This is what the psalmist said. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. That's faith, brethren. Well, you think now, if you lived in a day, it hadn't gotten near as bad as it can get. If we lived in a day where the President of the United States was sending people door to door saying, if I can find any children that belong to these people that call themselves sovereign, free grace believers in Christ Jesus, kill all their children. Kill every one of them. Kill them all. Could you have children? And then if you had children, hide them? because you feared God more than the commandments of men? That's what they're doing. This is faith that believes God. And then by faith, if you don't think that's enough, then by faith, they trusted their child, their newborn child, into God's hands. Verse 3. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. That ark of bulrushes that she put him in, just as Moses is a picture of Christ who's going to lead his children out of deliverance, that ark that Moses was saved in right there is a picture of Christ. Christ Jesus is the ark who entered the river of death. And because he entered the river of death, his chosen child, chosen of God and put in him before the world began, is spared and saved from the river of death. God put his children, his elect, in Christ in eternity. Who chose Israel? Who made Israel a nation? Who said, "This is a nation that I will call my people"? Who did that? God did that. Who made a covenant before yet they ever existed and said, "Here's what I'm going to do with this people"? God did that. That's a picture of God in before the foundation of the world making his covenant of grace with Christ Jesus, just as he did with Abraham, and saying, "I'm going to save this people for myself." And he entrusted them into Christ's hands. And Christ is that ark. And Christ came to this earth and he lived and he died and he went to the cross and was made the sin of his people and bore the wrath due to his people and put our sins away. And he went through that river of death and came out of that river of death. And it's by God's grace, through faith in him, that we're saved from all the wrath and torment of God. We're saved from justice because justice is satisfied. Justice is completely, thoroughly, the law is completely, thoroughly honored and magnified. We've got to be robed in the righteousness of Christ. We've got to be made perfect by the fidelity, the holiness of Christ Jesus the Lord. We've got to have Christ formed in our hearts so that we're made one with him. And we can come into God's presence the moment we die because we're complete in Christ Jesus. No amendment to be done to our spirit. Nothing else to be done to that spirit that's created of God, that's one with Christ, the Holy Spirit of God. Within us, we come right into his presence. Nothing else to be done. And then he'll raise these bodies incorruptible from the grave and bring us into his presence. He's the only one that can do that. He's the only one that can save us from all of our sins. And the only one that can save us in the midst of this trial and this tribulation and this world of wrath that would do everything to destroy God's glory and do everything to prevent, to just keep one of God's children to be lost. That's what this world wants. But God won't have it. He won't have it. His Son will redeem us. He has redeemed us, and his Son will keep us and call out each and every one of his elect children and bring us safely to him. He's that ark. So we got a picture here of faith in Christ. They came and they trusted Moses to Christ. That's what they were doing. They're trusting their Son into the hands of God. Just as we come and we cast ourselves into his hands and trust he's going to do what he said he's going to do. Now, next time something gets too hard for us, next time something gets too, that's too far of a drive, think how far Christ came down. Think how far he came down. Next time something gets too much of a sacrifice to us, think of what God sacrificed. God gave his only begotten Son. These couple right here saw something of God's glory. They saw something of what God had done for them. So that they took their only child, just as God took his only begotten Son, and they gave that child. Because that child's the only way those children in Israel, in bondage in Israel, is going to be delivered out. If they keep him back, if they hold him back, if they don't trust God, nobody's going to be redeemed. If they fear man more than God, nobody's going to be saved. If they fear man more than God, the gospel's not going forward. There'll be no gospel to proclaim. If they fear man more than God, that's the end of the story. And you and I have no salvation whatsoever. But God gave his Son. And God gave them faith to give their Son. They gave their Son. And you know what they did after they took that boy? And they put him in that ark, and they put him in the edge of that river. You know what they did after that? You know what faith does? Faith looks to the author and finisher of our faith, Christ Jesus, and faith doesn't turn back. Paul said, if any man turn back, my soul shall have no pleasure in it. Faith puts our hand to the plow. Faith moves forward. Faith never looks back. Faith keeps moving ahead, trusting God, believing God, knowing God's going to do what He's promised He will do. And that's what they did. Exodus 2:4 says, and Miriam stood afar off to see what would be done to him. Miriam stood there and she looked. She wanted to see what would happen to Moses. She stood afar off and she watched this whole thing. It doesn't say his parents did that. It says his parents walked down there and they put their newborn child in the edge of that river in an ark made of bulrushes and pitched with slime and pitch and turned around and walked away trusting God would save him. That's faith. That's faith. And they did it for sinners like you and me. They did it because they loved God by His grace. And they did it for the sake of their needy brethren whom God was going to use that one to deliver them through. And through whom Christ would come and deliver us. They worked by faith. Faith which worketh by love. That's what they did. And they never looked back. Faith is the gift of God. And faith, just like a child is His gift, just like Christ Jesus is His unspeakable gift. And that faith that God gives, God grows through the promise that He's made to us through this gospel, through this word, by teaching us it continually in our heart and making us to grow more and more to believe Him. And He does it also by showing us through all His providence that He is saving us from all everybody and everything that would separate us from Him. He's saving us from that. Do you believe God? Believe God. Rest everything in Christ. Fear not what man can do to us. And work. Do what God's given us to do. And watch God. The Scripture says if you believe God, you'll see His glory. You'll see His glory. If we don't believe Him, we won't ever see it. We never know what God's able to do if we don't trust Him to do it. That's just so. That's just so. Well, lastly, that's exactly what they saw. That's exactly what they saw. And that's what we see over and over in all these trials. And in all providence, God is working, glorifying His name, saving and teaching His children. And we see it here how that God used even the enemies to serve His purpose. Everything that was done here is God showing us that He rules the hearts of men, even His enemies. He rules every one of them. And all things in providence are ruled by God. And He's bringing everything about according to His purpose. Look at verse 5. And the daughter of Pharaoh. I love that. The daughter of Pharaoh. The very man who's wanting to extinguish these children and make sure they all get thrown in the river and die. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. God's using Pharaoh's own daughter. And she don't have any idea that she's an instrument in His hand being used. Nor does she even care. She come down there to take a bath. That's the only reason she came down there. Because God, whatever it was that made her dirty, God ordered it so that she'd get dirty at that time and need to take a bath right down in that river at that time. And she came down there. And He's using His own daughter, Pharaoh's own daughter, to save Moses and to save His children from the bondage of Pharaoh's house. Look at verse 5. And her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. God did all that. God's moving all that. From her finding that child right there at that spot, to that baby crying out, Moses crying out at that time, to her, him giving her a heart of compassion for that child. And then God uses Miriam, that maid who's a little bit older than Aaron, a little bit older than Moses. Then said his sister, she's there, obviously one of these maids working for Pharaoh's daughter. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. where do you think Miriam's headed? And Miriam went and called the child's mother, her mama, Moses' own mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I'll give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. Now here's how you see the glory of God, believing Him. She put that child in that river, and she expected, she believed God would save Moses. If she hadn't, she wouldn't have put him in the river. And if she hadn't, it wouldn't be recorded by God that she believed him. It's by faith, both mother and father believed God, and they put that child in the river. And they expected God would save their child. They knew he's going to deliver them. They knew he's going to deliver them. They knew he's going to honor his word, honor his son. They knew that. But God not only saved Moses, he not only saved Moses, he not only did abundantly more than they ever expected God would do. He put Moses back on his mother's breast. God used Pharaoh's daughter to pay her to nurse her own child. God used Pharaoh's own house to raise and to educate Moses and to foot the bill, to pay for all the expenses of it. And then God used Moses to deliver Israel out of bondage. If she didn't trust God, she never would have seen all that. If she didn't believe God, she never would have seen what God had determined to do from the beginning. There wasn't any possibility she wasn't going to trust Him. God made it so she trusted Him. God did everything there to show her to trust Him. And she trusted Him. Verse 10, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. Now what I've been trying to tell you is, Christ, our King, our High Priest, and our Prophet, who teaches us to sing all praises unto our God for the great salvation He's wrought for us in Him, that very one has been drawn out of that tomb that He went into for His people. And He right now is seated in the throne of God. And He's sending forth His messengers, and He's teaching His people. Not only that, He's growing them in grace. He's teaching them that to trust Him alone. He's moving the hearts of men and all our enemies in the midst and bringing all of them to nothing. To nothing. And He tells us, surely the wrath of man's going to praise Him. You see how all this wrath of Pharaoh ended up praising Him? And what didn't praise Him? The remainder thereof, God just kept it from happening. He just kept it from happening. That's who God is. That's who Christ Jesus, God our Savior, is. That's who He is. Ephesians 3, verse 20. We'll end with this. And I'm telling you, brethren, I'm calling. I pray God's calling to trust God. Believe on Him. I know you do. Trust Him. Trust Him. And follow after Him. And whatever God's put in our hand, whatever door He's opened, even when it don't look like He's opened a door, it didn't look like to them God had opened the door, did it? Their only recourse was to trust God. That's what we see in them going down there and just putting the baby in the water, in that ark. They just trusted Him. But by doing so, God did more than they could have ever expected. Verse 20, and God will do that for us. He will. Verse 20. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.